Weddings are the worst. I should know I'm getting married in 20 days. There are so many worries, so many things that you're afraid you're not going to remember. I didn't remember to include an RSVP deadline on the invitations. Didn't remember that they're probably going to need salt and pepper shakers at each reception table. Didn't remember that gardenia blossoms turn brown when you touch them, and probably won't remember to pay David for officiating. But there's always a concern about resources. Enough time, enough energy, enough to go around. Hair and makeup appointments start at 6:30 the morning of my wedding, and they will cost me 1/4 of my monthly take-home pay. I've already ripped the lace of my wedding dress. I think the low point for me was when I chased someone down for an RSVP, and they waited a week to reply to say not only that, yes, they were coming, but to ask, would it be okay if they brought with them 6 extra people? Yeah, it's at times like those when you just need to turn off your phone, throw it under the bed, and cry. It's so easy to get caught up in all the details and forget the celebration. So easy to forget that the real event is 2 people making a covenant before God and their faith community that they will love and serve each other until they breathe their last breath. That's what it's about. But it's so easy to get caught up in the hype and the expense and the decision of whether to have blue napkins with white tablecloths or white napkins with blue tablecloths, when at the end of the day, all that really matters is you've just bought 150 people a dinner you don't even get to eat. So will the guests have enough wine? That's what Mary is worried about in today's story. Will the guests have enough wine? Mary, the mother of Jesus, is at a wedding when she realizes that maybe the caterers didn't plan for this size crowd, or maybe every guest brought with them 6 extra people. But whatever the case, they're down to the last little purple drops when Mary says they have no wine. I can relate to that fear of, are we going to run out of food? Are we going to run out of money? Am I going to run out of patience? But for Mary, and for the people getting married in this story, there's more to it than that. It's not just a fear that there won't be salt and pepper shakers on each reception table. No, this is a big deal. The way this culture did weddings, the feasting would last for a week. And this would be a poor family's one chance to show off, in a way. These people who are so used to just living day to day, not having a bunch of wealth stored up, this would be their one chance to do something rich, to provide a banquet for all their relatives and neighbors and friends of friends, to throw a huge party and just invite everyone and include everyone. But when the wine runs out, the party's over. People will have to say goodbye early. They'll have to quit dancing, quit catching up, just go back to their normal lives of a day's work for a day's worth of bread. Those normal lives where the celebrations can seem few and far between. When the wine runs out, the hope runs out. So Mary turns to her son and says, "They have no wine." Really looks like the show's over. Now, apparently Jesus can have a good time with or without wine, because he says, "What is that to you and to me?" So they're running out of wine, okay? And that's kind of difficult to handle, the fact that Jesus doesn't immediately say, "Okay, leave it to me. I'm going to take water and turn it into wine." No, he does not rush into action. He doesn't jump into a miracle. His mom tells him they have no wine. And he says, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? This is a real question. I mean, maybe it was rhetorical, but what if Jesus is genuinely asking his mother? What if Jesus is asking us this question? What concern is it to you and to me if people run out of wine? What concern is it to you and to me if the spirit of the party dries up and people kind of give up and go home? I think that's a good question for us to consider before we ever look for a miracle. We can see there's a need. We can see that people have run out of something they need. The question is, why should we care? The bride and the groom should care, the host and the hostess should care, but Jesus and his mother, they're guests. They're part of the crowd. What concern is it to him and to her, to you and to me? What concern is it that they have no wine? Here's why. Mary knows that now that Jesus has come into the world, anything that looks like an end is not really an end. What the guests of that party don't know yet is that Jesus is the one they have all been waiting for, the one the whole world has been waiting for. He is someone who has come that they might have life and life abundant. He has come to be the very word of God among them. And from now on, everything that looks like an end isn't actually an end. He's come to bring a cup of salvation that will never run out, so that it will always have enough wine for every single party guest. So when those guests feel like the show's over, they might as well go home, what they need to know is that Jesus has come. Everything has changed. A Savior has come to bring miracles into our lives, even before it seems like the right time. That's how big God's grace is. It comes even sooner than we might think. It brings what we need just when we least expect it. What concern is that to you and to me? It is a concern to anyone who is close to Jesus. It's a concern when people run out of hope. Because what looks like the end to the world is not the end when you're with Jesus. It's not the end. And I'm not even talking about the afterlife. I'm not talking about heaven or the resurrection or eternal life. I'm talking right now. Right now, what looks like the end is not the end. When the world says, you've reached the end of this relationship, there's no hope left. Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. Forgive your brother 70 times 7. When the world says, if you reach the end of your bank account, you're in trouble. If you reach the end of your tank of gas, the end of your resources, you're really in trouble. Jesus says, blessed are the poor. That's what changes when Jesus comes on the scene. He says, blessed are the poor. There are still gifts in store. You watch. When the world says the sky is falling and wars are coming and glaciers are melting and there's nothing anyone can do about it, Jesus says, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. See, I am making all things new. When the world says you've reached the end of your life, you've reached the end of your health, you've reached the end of your abilities or your faculties, and now what? Jesus says, don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. And I'll tell you one that I think we all need to hear. When the world says you have to get married and have children if your life is going to have any meaning, when the world says you're kind of lost without a spouse and kids, Jesus says, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Follow me. So any of us here today who have seen what Jesus can do, we have to tell the world that what looks like the end is not the end. The wine running out is not the wine running out. If any of us have seen Jesus work a miracle like he did at that wedding in Cana, then it's up to us to help the rest of the world celebrate, not someday, not just in the afterlife, but right now. When things look bleak, Jesus invites us to look again. There's wine in the stone jars where you thought it was just water. There's a party going on right here, thrown by a God who brings so much delight, so much joy. We never run out of reasons to celebrate. Which is why a group of Christians up in Durham find any excuse they can to throw a party, because the sweet wine from life with God is just always spilling over the brim. So, when one of their neighbors realized his pedometer was about to reach a huge milestone of a million steps, these followers of Christ put together a party for their neighbor. They positioned themselves at the finish line of his route so that when 999,999 steps clicked over, then all of a sudden, all around this man was this burst of energy and applause. Why? Because God gives us bodies and we get to use them. That's worth celebrating. And when another neighbor used the neighborhood listserv to say, "Hey, you just want to let y'all know, today is my 2-year anniversary of being a Walmart employee," the emails poured in. "Congrats, Alex. Keep up the good work. That's awesome, man." Why? Because having a job is a gift from God. Because Alex has a way to serve others, to spread a little kindness as a greeter or a shopping cart collector. That's worth celebrating. And when another neighbor had an idea for an epic war movie starring all his friends, he wrote a script and the neighborhood turned out to film it and act in it and to throw a party celebrating its premiere. When people dressed up for this red carpet event and they checked out the display of relics from the movie set and they asked him for his autograph, the whole block showed up for this homemade movie showing of their friend. Why? Because God loves to create and probably loves when we create art together, and maybe just because God created him. That's celebration enough. There's a group of Christians doing this down here too, finding reasons to celebrate, to show a hopeless world that with God, we've got all kinds of reasons to rejoice. There's a group of Christians down here who've discovered that with God, there's always more than enough to go around. So the party just keeps going. To a weekend campout event where kids run around playing games and making memories and joining their parents for a morning workout as we celebrate that children are a gift from God and the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The party keeps going. To a weeknight potluck where choir members scarf down molasses cookies and beast each other in a game of Name That Tune as we celebrate a year's worth of sharing songs with the community, knowing that all praise is due to the God above who puts that song in our hearts to begin with. And the party keeps going to outdoor games in the fall and to building snowmen in the winter as we celebrate the seasons and the God who created the heavens and the earth. If any of us here have seen the abundance of life with God through Jesus Christ, then let's keep the party going. If any of us have seen what Jesus can do, then we know that what looks like the end is not the end. The week-long wedding turns lifelong, and there's always enough to go around until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you fill our cups to overflowing. You invite us to receive new life with you, this sparkling life of celebration. Thank you for taking ordinary water and turning it into wine so that we can invite others into this celebration that just keeps going. And Jesus, we know that most of all, the greatest gift we have received is that you love us. That is the greatest miracle of all. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.